What's this? Do my eyes deceive me? You have come back.
Yes, we've done what you asked, sir. We got the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. We melted her.
Ah, you liquidated her. Very resourceful.
And so, if you please, sir, we'd like you to keep your
Just a moment. I need some time to think. Come back tomorrow.
But...
No. Do not petition the great and powerful Oz, you ungrateful creatures. You should be quick. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. I am the great...
Who are you?
I am the great and powerful... Wizard of Oz.
Humbug! Scumbag.
You are a very bad man.
No, my dear, I'm sorry. I actually am a very good man. I'm just not a very good wizard.
Arthur, you promised the Tin Man. And the courage you promised, the cowardly lion.
Yes,
and
well...
Yeah.
You see, you have them in you all along. You don't need them from me.
But we want real
stuff.
Want
a real brain.
Courage, and you want a real heart.
My friends, you're selling yourself short. Let me explain, my overstuffed friend. You want a brain, yes? But you see, every creature on Earth has a brain. Everything that crawls through the Earth or slinks through slimy seas, they all have brains. Why, where I come from, there are universities, centers of great learning where people come to be great thinkers. And they have no more brains than you. But they have something that you do not have, a diploma. Therefore, by the power vested in me by the Comitiatum Universitatum, I hereby award you the honorary degree of Ph.D.
Ph.D.?
Doctor of Thinkology.
The sum of the square root of the isosceles triangle is equal to the square of the remaining side.
Indeed.
Oh, joy! Oh, rapture! I've got a brain!
And my friend, my furry friend, fear not. You think that you need courage? You are confusing courage with wisdom. It is wise to run from danger. And where I come from, there are great heroes with parades up and down the street in their honor. They have no more courage than you. But one thing they have that you don't is a medal. And therefore, for meritorious conduct, and valor against wicked witches, I award you the triple crown, or cross, the triple medal. You are now a member of the Legion of Courage.
Shucks, folks, I'm speechless.
And you, my galvanized friend, don't fear that you don't have a heart. You know, where I come from, there are people who could do good deeds all day long. That's all they do. They are called good deed doers. And they have no more heart than you, but they have something you do not, a testimonial. And therefore, in honor of your great consideration, your care, and your love, we award you this token of our esteem and affection.
A heart. I can hear it tick. Yeah.
Right there, number one, encourage. Ain't it the truth? Ain't it the truth?
Oh, it is. They're all so wonderful.
What about Dorothy?
Yeah, what about Dorothy?
Oh, well, yes, Dorothy.
I don't think there's anything in that little black bag for me.
Well, no, there isn't. I'm afraid you have forced me into a cataclysmic decision. The only way for Dorothy to return to Kansas is for me to take her there myself.
Oh, but could you? I mean, would you? Are you clever enough, wizard, to do that?
My child, you cut me to the quick. I am an old Kansas man myself. You see, I was an aerialist with the great carnival, and I was one day performing stratospheric feats of skill in my balloon, when unfortunately the balloon failed to return to the fair. The winds shifted and brought me to this beautiful land where I landed and was immediately declaimed the first wizard deluxe. And times being what they were, I took the job. But I kept the balloon in case of the need for a quick getaway. And in that balloon, you and I, Dorothy, will return to Oz together. I mean, return to Kansas together. In fact, even better. People of Oz, I hereby declare that the Scarecrow will rule in my stead by virtue of his magnificent brain, assisted by the Tin Man with his great heart and the Lion with his tremendous courage.
Oh, Toto! Toto!
Oh, no.
Hey,
oh dear.
Don't leave without me.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't actually know how to make it stop. I'm sorry. Goodbye. Goodbye.
I'll never get home.
Wait. Look. There's someone coming. I can see the
coven. Linda, the good witch is back. Oh, will you help me? Can you help me?
You no longer need help. You've had the power to go home all along.
I have?
Wow. Well, why didn't you tell her before?
Because she had to experience it for herself.
Oh, well, what have you learned, Dorothy?
Oh, well, I think it wasn't enough to just want to go back and see Uncle Henry and Auntie M. And well, that when I have a heart's desire, that I don't really have to look any further than my own backyard. And, you know, if it's not there, I probably wasn't missing anything anyway. Is that it?
That's it.
You know, I think I should have thought of that before. I should have told you.
I should have felt it with my heart.
No, she had to find it for herself. Now those magic slippers will take you and Toto home in 2 seconds.
That seems too wonderful to be true. Wow, Toto, we're going home. Oh, but my friends, I love you all so much. I'm going to miss you. Oh, Tin Man, don't cry. You'll rust so terribly here. Keep your oil can with you.
I know I have a heart because it's breaking.
And Lion, I know it's not right, but I think what I'm going to miss most of all is all the ways you used to holler for help before you found your courage.
Well, I never could have found it without you, Dorothy.
Come It'll be all right. Love you, Lion. Oh, and I think I'm gonna miss you most of all. Wave goodbye, Toto.
Are you ready now?
I am ready.
Then close your eyes and click your heels together 3 times. And think to yourself, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. I'm home! I'm home! Oh, I am so grateful to be home. Are you grateful to be home? And there's no place like home, right? There's no place like home. There's no place like home, where we find ourselves in our community and ourselves. You know, these lines from The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home, or I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, or the man, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. These are so seeped in our culture, aren't they? We all know these. The book, the original book, was written by L. Frank Baum in 1899. And still today, it is so alive and vibrant, the story. It's so meaningful to us. You know, Frank Baum, when he wrote this story, he had a download from Spirit. I don't know if he said those exact words, but he felt that as if it came in a vision all at once, and the whole story just got written through him. And it's no surprise that something that comes purely from Spirit like that, that is channeled by somebody, truly downloaded in and given into the world, has such a hold on us. The story is just as relevant today as ever. In fact, it seems as if Frank Baum is not just a wizard, but he's a fortune teller too. You know, it seems as if he can tell the future. Just like in the movie of 1939, made after the novel, that the fortune teller is also the wizard, and by the way, also the gatekeeper of the Emerald City and the cab driver. And his name, that actor's name, was also Frank Morgan, I believe it was. And so it's so fascinating to know that there are these interconnections, and here's one you might not know, that when they were filming the 1939 Wizard of Oz that we all know and love, that the costume crew went out to a thrift store to find a jacket for the fortune teller, an overcoat very much like our fine actor here was wearing just a few moments ago. And when they reached into the pocket of the jacket that they brought back, they found a dry cleaning bill. You would never believe whose dry cleaning bill it was and whose jacket it originally belonged to. That's right, L. Frank Baum, the author. They called up his widow and they said, "We have his coat. He had long since made his transition, and we'd like to use it for the movie." And she said, "Well, absolutely, that feels, you know, serendipitous and as if it is exactly what needs to happen." But you know, it's when these kinds of things happen that we know it's not just by chance, right? It's not just a coincidence. It's Spirit at work. And reminding us over and over again in the mythology of our lives, the great myths, the heroes and heroines' journey is a constant reflection of our actual spiritual journey. And there is so much depth. In these last 8 weeks, we've just sort of scratched the surface of this story. But there's so much in it. And some of the things that this story offers us are the basics of what we need on the spiritual journey. What are the aspects of the spiritual journey that are essential? One of the things about this journey down the yellow brick road is that it's about an evolution of our understanding of the divine. And so just like us, we once had a concept of God when we were a child or from our previous spiritual communities. And over time, that concept and that knowing and that experience has evolved, has it not? It's changed over time. As Ellen Davenport, the author of Unity's Five Basic Principles, says, you know, it's time for a grown-up God. And so over time, we do grow up, and our understanding of God grows up with us. And this is also a story that tells us that on the spiritual journey, one of the key things we need are spiritual companions, people that will join arms with us or join hands with us and walk beside us and support us and accept us and not judge us. People that will encourage us when we're down and uplift us and even, you know, call us out when we're off the path, you know? Guide us back on or remind us how to guide ourselves back on. Thank God we have this spiritual community, right? And for some of you who are part of the community and who are longing for more, I hold that prayer with you that new associations, new connections will be made. So like Dorothy, you'll have friends by your side for the brave journey. And it's not just about spiritual companionship, but it's also for us individually to be willing to take the path, to get on the path in the first place. You know, Dorothy didn't know where she was going. They, you know, the whole team didn't really know where they were going, but they, in faith, stepped upon the path. And then when the going got tough, they didn't get off the path. Well, they literally had to go off trail, if you will, when they went through the haunted forest, but that was the way they had to go to get the boon, the mission, the broom. And it is true for us, too, that there are times we will need to, it looks like, go off trail when we're going through the haunted forest, if you will, or we're meeting up with the flying monkeys of our lives, or the shadow side of us, the wicked witches. And those dark places, as we've talked about, are exactly where we need to go through and to meet and to melt or dissolve that which doesn't work for us, and to take up those disowned parts of us, those shadowy parts of us that are a part of our wholeness and needed for the journey. And so we then continue on in a brave way with a willingness to have that kind of brave heart that Dorothy had to call things out when they need to be called out, to stand up and to find the power within us. As Glinda reminds us, it was in us all along. We just don't know until we're tested, until we experience, right? Until we step in and we say yes. And another aspect of this journey is the willingness to unmask, to let go of that which is not the truth of who we are. Just like the phony wizard is unveiled, and he steps out of his persona, and something real and true comes forth. And then finally, an aspect of this journey is once we have let go the mask, once we have let go and stepped out of the phoniness, the inauthenticities, the ways that we've been taught to be that don't feel true to our own soul, then our great capacities come forward, symbolized by the ruby slippers. And those great capacities are like these heroine qualities that Dorothy embodies for us, things like collaboration and cooperation, teamwork, empathy and compassion, kindness and love, connection, honesty. And all of those things become available to us only when we let go of the pretense of whatever it is that we are trying to be that isn't serving us or the world. Whatever we were told to be that isn't serving us or the world. And so just like we need a grown-up God, we need a grown-up self that's willing to take the brave journey to demasking or unmasking that which no longer serves. It's a big journey. It's a brave journey that you're on, your spiritual journey that you've been on. And for all these good years, you've been really like our heroine in the story, you know, getting on the path and staying on the path and braving through the unknown, what it is that you didn't know, that you met along the way, you came to know. And what is it that you're unmasking? What is it that you're letting go of? You know, this whole journey is really framed, this awakening journey to Oz that we've been on together for the last 8 weeks. It's really framed by two questions. Where is God and who are we? And where is God? You know, when our friends start out, they sing with a kind of blind faith, "We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz, because of all the wonderful things he does." It's like they don't really know, you know. It's, I don't know, why are we going to see the wizard, but that's what we're doing, you know. Because we're not sure what else to do, you know. Do you ever feel that way? It's like, okay, well, I'm not sure exactly what to do in this situation, but what we do know is that when we go to God in prayer, when we move toward the divine, we get what we're looking for. Is that not true? Always, always, always. And for some reason, we have this sort of amnesia that causes us to forget that sometimes. And then once we come back into it, we go, oh, it was so simple. I think that's a big part of it. It's like we can't imagine that it could be this simple. We are complicators extraordinaire, are we not? We must make it much harder. We must throw a bunch of hurdles in there. It's got to be harder than this. Are you kidding me? A breath? A dropping into my heart? A few moments of releasing that which I was just so attached to and letting it go? You mean all I have to do is be myself and be willing to share how I'm feeling and what I'm thinking and be honest? That's it? I mean, it just seems too simple, doesn't it? And so that seems to be kind of, you know, the way in which our friends take off on the journey. It's just, you know, we're kind of not sure where we're going, but there's sort of this blind faith. And sometimes that's where we need to be, just in that sort of innocence of blind faith, the trust that the answers will come. They will be revealed. In the moment that we need something, we will indeed know how to respond. whatever it is that comes our way. And so this question, where is God? Where is God? You know, it's a question that's asked a lot. You could probably almost, if you listen carefully enough, you can hear it being reverberated around our country right now. In the midst of a burning fire, where is God? In the midst of another shooting, where is God? Right there. You know what Mr. Rogers' mother told him when he asked that question? Look to the helpers. There you will find God. And so we look to the firefighters in Paradise and in Malibu and in the surrounding areas. And we look to Rabbi Myers, who a week after the Tree of Life Synagogue said, hate never wins, and uplifted his people and all people with that message. And the people who support that experience and who are supporting those who went through that experience with their love and their prayers and their financial contributions and their grief counseling and whatever else it takes. And the same down in Thousand Oaks. You know, the helper, we look to the helper, the deputy sheriff who gave his life to protect the people in that place. And his wife says he would have had it no other way. A true hero, you know. So it's that when we look at the helpers, we see the God all around us and inside of us and in each other. When we see it in the helpers, we see it in ourselves. And when we see it in ourselves, we see it in each other. Right? So all it takes is a shift and a willingness to look. So in those moments of desperation, when you're standing there saying, where is God? Go look in the mirror. And you will find God there. Yeah. Did you know that the munchkins that played in the movie were actually probably saved from their own demise? They were part of a German singing troupe in Nazi Germany at the time that the movie took place. And someone, some helper, hired them, unknowing perhaps, but you know, all the so-called undesirables of Nazi Germany were being annihilated, and so the little people of Germany were included in that. But this singing troupe from Germany was hired and given a new lease on life, literally, by coming and being in the movie. Amazing things. Amazing things happen when we stay on the journey and we stay, you know, tuned in to the journey. And tuned in to the journey, knowing that we're on it. We know then when we just make the slightest misstep, we can feel it and correct our course immediately. It's when we make a misstep and another misstep and another misstep and we fall asleep. That's when we get into trouble. That's when it's helpful to have a friend to nudge you back awake, you know. So who, and the other question, it's where is God, but who are you is the second question. And Dorothy just, can't you just feel her just get her full power when the wizard, she's seen that now this whole thing is behind smoke and mirrors and it's big disembodied mask who's been scaring them and making them go through all these things. And suddenly she sees it's just this man pushing some buttons behind the curtain. And you just see her go, you know, who are you? Who are you? And that's a question we need to ask ourselves when we're wearing these masks and we recognize that we are and that they're not helping us anymore. To look at ourselves and say, who are you? Really, who are you? Come forth, the truth of me is what we're really saying. Come forth, the essence of me, who I really am, the divine of me. And you know, like Dorothy in that, you know, she's such a relevant leader for our time. She's an adolescent girl. I love that. You know, and she's just like, got it. She's got that. She's walking in the shoes, the divine feminine shoes that get it. And get, even though she doesn't really get it, she gets it one step at a time with each thing that faces her. And if we can take from her the bravery and the courage that it takes to just be on the journey, and be willing to be in the unknown and to say, you know, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I'll face that wicked witch when I come to her. I'll deal with that flying monkey when they come, you know? And so it's like that on our journey. And so she has that bravery. And do we have that bravery? Where in your life do you really need to drop the mask and ask yourself, who are you? And maybe there's somebody else or something in your life that you need to call up higher. Maybe it's your partner or your children or your parents to say, you know, who are we really? Is this who we want to be? And then reach deeper for the thing you really want to be. You know, my goddaughter, when she sometimes gets off course or unskillful with her frustrations, Grace, and this is true for all of us, but, you know, because she's five, I'm really aware of it and see it a lot when she gets really upset. And sometimes it's, you know, she says mean things to her mom or whatever it is. And so then I just have to gently remind her, do you remember the draft communication we did? You know, so how could you say that differently? Just because you're not getting your way right now doesn't mean it gives you a license to be mean to one another. Why would we do that? Why would we in this room, in this spiritual community, why would we ever go the path of divisiveness with one another or with anyone else when we know better? Because we know that the road to unity is oneness and recognition of what is alive and true and honest and kind and loving and connecting. If we want to live in a world like the utopian Emerald City that is alive with nature and pulsing with green and without scorches of the earth, but just in a complete restoration and a place where people serve alongside each other with joy, so much joy that they sing, and down the streets are clip-clopping the horse of many colors, because the horse, you know, is also a symbol of power, and it is that kind of joyful power that is in its divine right power that we want to bring into our lives, that we want to be leading our carriage, so to speak. And so we can have that. We will have that if we do the work that's offered us, even just in this little segment of the story of the unmasking, of the asking, what needs to go so that the truth of who I am, the capacities that I have, can shine? What needs to be dropped? What curtain needs to be pulled so that I can unveil the radiant spirit that I am? Only you can answer those questions. But you know, we also have the power collectively. We also have the power to ask with a great sense of understanding and wisdom, who are you to those leaders in our world today that have forgotten? And when we ask of them, who are you, with that kind of power and authority and spiritual knowing, they will begin to remember, just like the wizard did. Did you see the transformation of the wizard when he steps through the curtain? And he turns out he's not a bad man. Like he said, I'm not a very good wizard, because he's not a wizard, he's a man. And it turns out he's a pretty wise man. In fact, I think probably a pretty compassionate and kind man when he drops the mask and the pretense and he moves into the truth of who he is. Now he's just a vulnerable man. And that's when the beauty shines, the truth of who he is comes forward. And then what does he say? It's so interesting. Each of the characters that he speaks to give them the gift, he says, back where I come from, he's beginning to remember where I came from, who my homeland is, who are my ancestors. Back where I come from, they have centers of learning, and learned people get these degrees, and they're great thinkers. And back where I come from, there's war heroes, and they have great courage and bravery. And back where I come from, there's good deed doers, he says. And those people are of service, of giving, of their financial well-being and of their time and talents, like so many of you support this community. Truly, tin mans with big hearts. And so it's that knowing, it's that asking that then brings that shouting, essentially, who are you, that kind of brings it up in the wizard. And he begins to remember. And see, when we begin to remember the truth, it is that relative truth, that understanding of who we are as a human being, where we've come from. But those things are emboldening too, because we are human beings as well as divine beings. And we have to meet ourselves and meet each other wherever we are, right? And that's what the wizard does. You know, he tries to give the three, he says, you're aiming too low, boys, you know, but they don't get it. They don't get that they already have a brain and a heart and a courage. He has to, he realizes, oh, they need a ceremony. They need some kind of acknowledgement. And so that's what he offers them. But see, Dorothy, on her spiritual journey, is a step ahead, and there's nothing material in that black bag that's going to satisfy the heart's longing that she has. There's nothing material in the world that's going to satisfy your longings. Nothing. Because it is that innate knowing, that deep desire of your heart that is knocking from the inside out that says, I want to be known in the world. I want to go home. I want to go home to that place where I know who I am as a divine being. I want to go home to that place where I stand in my spiritual capacities and my spiritual authority, and I do what is mine to do. I walk the road I'm meant to walk with confidence and knowing and faith. I know all of you have that kind of desire in your heart, because maybe you're a little further along on the path than Scarecrow or Tin Man or Lion. Doesn't mean we leave them behind, because they're our friends forever, right? And they have all kinds of just conventional wisdom to teach us about. You know, my mom is this great conventional wisdom person. She's not particularly focused on a spiritual path, but sometimes she'll say something to me that is so, like, common sense kind of wisdom that I go, oh, yeah. That makes so much sense. And sometimes, you know, when we're on our spiritual path, we need a little bit of that grounding, right? We're off on our balloon with our balloons. And sometimes we just need companions on our way that'll just sort of, okay, let's steady the balloon now and let's talk about what we're going to have for dinner. I'm grateful for my partner, too, for that reason. And so it is, you know, that we can look to be that brave one who says, who are you? To the powers to be that be, to the places where the paradigm is power over or fear-based, and unmask it and remember collectively who we are. That's really the journey we're on, isn't it? We find out along the way when Glinda shows up and shows Dorothy that she's had the power with her all along, and that this is her higher power, her what Jean Houston in our book calls entelechy. It's a term that means basically essentially that. It's like our almost like our avatar or our envisioned being that is our higher power visualized. So you might work with that. Visualize your higher power in a meditation like Glinda or whoever it may be, and have them then come into your heart to be merged with you once again. So you can begin to feel the essence of who you are, the power that you've always had, and that is constantly, always guiding you along the way. So we know this, we're clear this. God is not a person. God is not this wizard that's, you know, pushing control somewhere behind some kind of booth and, you know, dousing us with rewards and punishments, you know, depending upon whichever way the wind blows. That's not the God that we understand now on our evolutionary journey, is it? That's not the God that we are close to. It's right here, actually. In fact, it's so near that it's right here inside of us. And that's where we go home. That's where we go home and awaken once again to that truth. You know, Jesus said in the Gospel of Thomas, which is a Gnostic gospel, part of the Nag Hammadi library, he said, if you bring forth that which is within you, that which is within you will save you. The so-called Savior is telling us how to save ourselves, you see, because that in unity we understand him to be this teacher. And so that will bring whatever you bring it forth. If you bring forth that which is within you, that which is within you will save you. But the second part of this is, if you do not bring forth that which is within you, that which is within you will not come forth, and it will destroy you to not bring it forth. Pretty strong words, aren't they? Bring it forth and it'll save you. Miss out on bringing it forth, it will destroy you. It says a lot about the power that we have. We have power to destroy and we have power to create, and we see it going on in our world all the time, right? And we can choose which way we're going to lean. We can move toward creating and co-creating, or we can move toward divisiveness and destruction. It's up to us in every moment of every day. And don't think, well, I'm not somebody who would ever, you know, hurt somebody or commit violence, or, you know, we do it all the time. the way we speak and the way we think and the way we connect with each other. So when you find yourself doing that, drop the mask and go to the essence of who you are, the truth of who you are, the compassionate, loving, connected being that you are, and speak from there and listen from there, and oh, what a world we'll create. That's the way we're meant to work together. We can, in fact, create this sort of utopian emerald city. We can, in fact, have this living, breathing, restored earth in every way. We can be linked together, joyfully serving beside one another. You know, I saw a video clip of a man standing with all the rubble and even smoke still behind him, this young man. And he said with such passion and conviction, he said, the people of this town will rebuild paradise. And I believe him. I believed him with every fiber of my being. Because, you know, it's not so much that the earth needs saving. It's not so much that Mother Earth needs us to save her as she needs us to green ourselves and save ourselves. And that's what happens when we do this work, when we remember who we are, when we drop the mask, when we step in our spiritual authority, when we say the tough things that need to be said, and we do the tough things that need to be done. It's that breakthrough and that greening, and it creates a whole new earth and a whole new world and a whole new us that was always the us that just needed to be let out. So will you with me affirm and know the truth of who we are together? Will you feel that homecoming and go back to that homecoming again and again and know how grateful you are because the gratitude lifts up the vibration. This week is all about lifting up the vibration of the world, of your life, of yourself. It's Thanksgiving. Thank God for who we are. Thank God for our divinity. Thank God for the yellow brick road. Thank God for each of you, companions on the journey. Let's do this together. Let's know this together. Let's be grateful together. Let's say this together. I am grateful to be home, living as my highest self on sacred earth. So it is.